Time is of the essence for the Toronto Raptors, who have 7 games remaining in their season. This is Hoop Talks. Welcome back, you guys. I'm Noor Zainab, Justin Pooney, Jelani Goodridge, and we actually have some good news for Raptor fans on this fine, actually gloomy kind of Monday, because the Raptors won both their games against the Pistons and the Thunder. We saw OG Anunoby last night actually have a team-high 29 points. He had 8 rebounds, 52% from the field, and a whopping 40% from 3. Is that the OG that we know? Not really. And then Scotty Barnes made a return last night as well, and he had a respectful night, giving us 13-5-6, taking the team, and they closed it out. Both games they closed out very well, covered the spread. Thank you, FanDuel. But for you guys, what has it been like seeing the Raptors over the last 2 games, and what did you like that you saw?
They took care of business. They actually, you know, won games they were supposed to win. They were big favorites against the Pistons, blew them out. And they were big favorites against the Wizards, blew them out. We saw what happened against Indiana last week, where, you know, it was a game they should have won. They didn't win, but they played a complete game. Now, there are still some things, if you want to really nitpick on the Toronto Raptors, that you could work on, like, you know, the three-point shooting. It was still not really there last night. Fred was the only one that I think shot the ball really well. OG, you know, had a high volume of threes. He shot 10 threes, made 4 of them, 40%. That's pretty respectable. You know, Pascal, you know, 1 for 3, 7 of 17 shooting. It's a little bit of inefficiency, but look, that's just nitpicking. The Raptors played some good basketball the last 2 games. They won these games that they had to win, and they took care of business, which is something they haven't done a lot of. They played, you know, to their level, not the competition's level, and to showcase.
Now, Jelani, I know the Pistons were without pretty much half their lineup. And then the Wizards were also missing Kyle Kuzma and Bradley Beal, 2 of their starters. So do you take anything like that with a grain of salt, or do you're just like, you know, we made the thing happen?
It's similar to what Justin said. You know, you're playing teams that don't have their guys, so yes, you have to show up and finish the job. They got it done, so I'm impressed with what we saw. Usually Detroit, you know, in the past they gave us some troubles, but this year we played them tough. We swept them. Okay, very good job there. And then the other night, we see what happened with Washington. You know, when they don't have Brad Beal, they're a different team. We know this, right? They don't really win games without Brad Beal. And a guy like Kuzma, obviously, not having him out there is going to affect things, of course. But I was still impressed with what I saw from the Raptors, especially in that Wizards game, because the defense was there. Okay, 13 steals, thank you very much. You know, that's, you know, getting yourself more opportunities and points off of those turnovers that you force is great. And then inside, we own that game, okay? 54 points in the paint to Washington's 36. I really like that. I think that could help the Raptors moving forward. As we move forward, you know, the schedule is going to get a bit tighter. Yeah. So if we could see that, you know, that paint presence, that's going to help us a lot.
Is there anything that you thought, we know this team's not always smooth sailing, it's going to be a little low here and there?
Like from the past few games?
Two games, yeah.
Yeah, well, again, it's just the questions of the shooting, you know, that Justin pointed it out too. Like, can it be consistent? That's the question that Raptors fans are going to have moving forward, especially as the play-in comes around, because if it's not there, right, how are we gonna win games, right? We've seen it the last 2 games, you know, here and there a few guys have stepped up in that spot. So I my question is, can the shooting be there? But yeah, overall I am impressed with these 2 wins.
Took care of business. That's what the biggest thing was. Like, they needed to win those games, and now you look at it, they're tied with Atlanta for the 8th seed, right? So if they can move up and potentially play a Brooklyn or Miami who's fighting for that 7th seed, that could be something to look out for. Again, as we mentioned last week, I still would want to avoid, you know, Miami and Atlanta at all costs. So things are tightening up, and the Raptors took care of business.
Well, Justin, as you guys mentioned, there's 7 games remaining. 1 against the Heat, their next one. They're going to take the Sixers, the Hornets twice, the Celtics twice, and then they end everything off with the Bucks. Except 2 of those games are going to be at home. Only 2, yeah. And 5 will be on the road. So the Raptors are a pretty decent home team. They put up a record of 5-14, sorry. But on the road, they're 12-24. So how are you expecting this team to perform in this last road trip?
I mean, on the road, you got to play better, right? Yeah. That record, I don't really like that, okay? I think that's been a reason why the Raptors have struggled all year, because we don't show up on the road, right? It's a whole different team on the road usually, right? And yes, there have been games where we play, you know, the opposition really close, but we don't finish the job. And that happens more so when we aren't at home. So when you're listing those teams, right, those are playoff teams. Those are, you know, high flyers in the Eastern Conference for the most part, right? Not the Hornets.
They beat the Mavericks back to back, with all due respect, right?
So maybe they could play spoiler, possibly, but I'm looking at, obviously, at those other games, because the Sixers, right, they're playing for that seeding. The Celtics are playing for seeding right now. They've been dropping off a bit, so they want to get back up.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks, we don't know, like, will they play their guys at that time? Will they already have that one seed? That's a question as well. And when we play a team like Miami, who's hungry, you know, to secure a top six, that's where your guys have to step up. So that's a big question.
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking at the schedule right now. It really means that the Raptors are playing the top three teams in the Eastern Conference to end off their season. So if anything, it's kind of poetic. It's almost monumental that you're ending the season with the Bucks to kind of show what your team looks like.
Yeah, right? I mean, the last game of the season to me, we'll see. It all depends on how the playoff situation breaks down. The Bucks could already be like locked into a spot and then rest a bunch of players, which could work for the Raptors' benefit if they're still fighting for seeding coming into that last game. The Charlotte games are the ones that are the most important to me.
Yeah.
I want to see that team. I want to see the Raptors play.
Take care of business.
Play their game. Don't stoop down to the Hornets level, because as the Hornets showed you this past week, and if you don't play, you know, if you have an off game, they can get you, right?
Yeah.
So those are the two most important games of the upcoming schedule. Those two games in Charlotte. Again, Miami, this game against Miami is going to be a big game, but Miami's playing very good basketball right now. And I'm very, you know,
you're concerned.
Yeah. I'm concerned. I think Miami will probably win that game.
I would also say though, like on top of the Charlotte games, any games that you're at home versus Miami and the Bucks, you got to win. Because if those five games are going to be on the road, that's going to be tough against the Boston Celtics, right? You're taking them twice back to back. So if anything, get those wins at home, because we know they're a good team at home. But if this pretty much means the Raptors are going to be taking part in the play-in. And we know how the Raptor fans, how Masai, how everybody feels about the play-in. So real quick, you guys, are you guys excited? Are you excited to watch the Raptors in a little bit of a playoff atmosphere?
I'd rather see them in this situation than not. Like, I'm a fan, right? So I want to see them play for something.
Yeah.
But I know at the end of the day what's going to happen, right? I know we're probably going to get out of the play-in. I think we can.
You're going to get out of the play-in?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so,
it's possible. But then after that, yeah.
I just can't wait for Mikal Bridges to go.
If you can get the 8th seed, that means you only have to win one game, and that's the problem. If you're going to be 9th and 10th, a little bit harder, but 8th or 7th, you can kind of figure out your way. But yes, the Raptors take on Miami tomorrow night. It's going to be their first game at home in the next 7 games, where they only have 2 games that they will be playing in Scotiabank Arena. The next 5 will be on the road. So their last road trip, let's see how this team fares. We'll be back Wednesday. See you guys next time. This is Hoop Talks.
LeBron is back. So does that mean the Lakers are back? This is Hoop Talks. Welcome in, everybody, to Hoop Talks. I am Jelani Goodridge Reed. That is JGR. And we have Justin Pooney. That is JP. And then Noor Zainab, NZ or Z if you're an American. But welcome in. Of course, we have, you know, Raptors talks all the time. But now we're going to go out west. We're going to go to, you know, the city of
the
angels.
King.
Right?
Oh, boy.
There's a king out there. The crown is worn out there by LeBron James. He's back. Okay. They did lose. They dropped one to the Bulls. But right now, the playing situation is getting a bit dicey in the West for the Lakers right now. They sit at 9th. If you're looking at their schedule moving forward, here are the teams they got. The final games, five are on the road. Chicago, Minnesota, Houston, Utah, and the Clippers. Then they finish off with the Suns and Utah again. So I want to ask you guys, in terms of this, you know, situation right now at the 9th spot, looking at where they are in the play-in, Justin, I'll give it to you. First, okay, who are they trying to avoid in the play-in if they make that?
Honestly, I think the Lakers can make the 6th seed now.
Really?
I think so. Look, they're only a game and a half out of behind Golden State. And their schedule is not that hard, right?
Okay.
And we all know LeBron James has returned.
Yes,
he has.
He
saw the LeBron James of foot doctors. We don't know what country he's in. We don't know where he is. But we know LeBron is right, and he's ready to roll. We saw him come off the bench last night. Still got the chalk toss in, by the way. Had to get the chalk toss in. But once LeBron gets going, AD's been playing a lot better. They have the shooters. They have, you know, a little bit more speed now. I think D'Angelo Russell's now finding his way. Look, the Lakers could make a serious push for the 6th.
So you're saying they don't even have to worry about anyone in the play-in?
Don't worry about no matchup.
Because I'm going to give it to you. and ask you, like, who would they want to play in that playing situation? Who do you think they should be favored against?
I think if I'm the Lakers, I'm going to take a team that doesn't have much height, and it's going to be the Thunder. Because I think if they take on anyone like the Pelicans and Timberwolves, a guy like Anthony Edwards is someone you have to worry about and you have to watch out for. So his matchup is the one that you have to really keep in mind how that could be exploited. And if you look at the guys that are on the roster for the Timberwolves, as well as the Pelicans and JV and Kat and Anthony Edwards, they can make AD's life pretty difficult. On the other hand, for the Thunder, they kind of just have to trade shots for it with Shea and Giddy. So I think something like that's going to be tough, absolutely, because it's Shea, it's Thunder. They're doing a lot better than we expected them to be doing. But that's, if I'm a Laker fan, I think that's kind of the route that I want to take, because who do you trust on your team and who do you least trust? This guy right here.
AD.
I don't trust him at all.
So just a follow-up on that, because we heard Justin say the Lakers can be a player in the West. Do you think they're a player in the West if they make the playoffs?
The issue is the Western Conference so up and down right now that you can't really tell. Had you asked me this maybe 2 months ago, I'd be like, oh, another LeBron, you know, I can't say the word on here probably, but you know what I'm thinking. Yes. Right now, you know, that's what I would assume. But because if you look at the Clippers, PG-13's out now. Look at the Warriors. They've kind of been struggling all year long. They should get their stuff together in the playoffs, but still not a really good start. The Mavericks have completely fallen off the cliff. Do I trust the Wolves at all in the playoff picture? Not really. So, and they happen to have a guy like LeBron James. So unfortunately, if you have someone like that, now he's back to push something for the play-in spot or the playoff, they're a dangerous team. Let's add D'Angelo Russell back there too once he's healthy. I don't know if they're going to – let's relax. I don't know if they're going to jump the way that thinks they are going to, but I think they're going to be – they're a team that no one else wants to face.
Okay. Let's talk hypotheticals, right? So say, for example, my rationale is this. The Warriors are going to go up to the fifth seed. Mm. The Clippers are going to slide to the play-in. Lakers take the sixth seed, right? Okay. All plausible things.
Yes.
Who would the Lakers play in the first round?
The beam. Yeah.
Sacramento.
Because I was going to ask.
Now, do I think Sacramento could push the Lakers around? Absolutely, because they have such a fast-paced offense. But it comes down to experience in the playoffs. Who's got more experience in the playoffs than LeBron James?
Yeah.
If it's game seven in whatever it's called, Golden Center. Golden One Center in Sacramento,
yes.
Right? No Sacramento Kings fan is going to feel confident with LeBron James on that team.
Is it going to be 0-2 all over
again?
No one
in the playoffs feels comfortable. You just know LeBron. Yeah, it's LeBron.
Like, let me ask you Denver, Memphis, would they, let's say they meet with those two, could they get a Denver? Could they get a Memphis? Do you think so?
We've seen Anthony Davis push Jokic around the playoffs before. We saw it in the bubble. Right?
I just think it's LeBron. you give LeBron a playoff team, he's going to be like...
Yeah, because my feeling on this, right, if they make the play-in, let's say they play a team like... I think they shouldn't want to see OKC.
No, I don't want them to see playoff.
I think that would be a bad matchup. Really? Yeah, I think OKC has played them really tough this season.
Look at the night LeBron broke the points record.
And they shoot well. So I don't know about that. But if they play a team like, let's say, Dallas, because Dallas, look... I know it'd be fireworks, but
I don't think so, man.
They could beat a Dallas. They could beat a Utah if Utah gets in there. New Orleans, right? So I don't know. And then if LeBron
makes...
But
they're not even in the playing picture.
We'll see, right? But I'm also looking at the fact that LeBron is there, right? Yeah. And if he's healthy, then he strikes fear. And on that point, I wanted to end this off with this question. We've heard Mario Chalmers.
Yes.
We've heard Gilbert Arenas and the crew talk about the lack of fear that the peers association have when it comes to LeBron. I know Justin wants to touch on this. So, Justin, as a LeBron truther, do you agree? Do you feel like people don't fear LeBron?
Let me ask you guys. You guys got a front row seats to LeBron James. Fear. Did you not fear him?
I feared him.
LeBron, too, right? I think you guys probably still wake up with night terrors of LeBron, right?
I wasn't on the court, and I feared the man.
Yeah, exactly. Did he? LeBron, people, I don't understand this. People saying that players don't fear LeBron. Players that aren't scared of LeBron. LeBron had an entire city renamed after him.
Okay.
Well, he was pulling Raptors off the court so they wouldn't get...
Let me interject real quick.
Raptors playbook.
I know that there was LeBron, but Indiana, ask Atlanta as well. Okay, it's not just us.
I'm just saying. Hey, but the reason why... You know, LeBronto is so big because the name was so popularized, right? And it was so egregious of how he dominated the Raptors, right?
Yeah.
You know, him pulling Norman Powell off the court, knowing the Raptors playbook before they even knew it, right? DeMar DeRozan saying, if we had a guy
we were there. Yeah. So
I'm just saying.
So, Nor, do you think it's because everyone compares him to MJ and the Kobe, fear factor as well. Do you think it's because of those two and you're looking at LeBron, he doesn't have that same, aura? Is that why?
I think they're just... just noticing his tenure with the Lakers so far. That's probably what's clouding their judgment over him. And that's completely right, because if you look at how far he's come along with the Lakers, it's not much. He won that championship, yes, but let's look at the context of how you won that. But I think if you give LeBron a team and it's the playoffs, we know it doesn't matter what team it is. He will make sure it becomes a playoff team. So they're not a good regular season team, and that's completely fine. But if they get to the playoff spot, I'm good. I don't want to see this team. I don't know.
He's the king, man. I feel like there should be a fear. I don't know what they're talking about. A lot of players, they come up and they have to prepare extra hard, you know, extra long preparations for LeBron. So I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. I think it's just because the MJ thing, the Kobe thing with the mentality. Ooh. But the Lakers, look, we'll see what happens. Okay. They're fighting for a playoff spot, Shout out Austin Reeves and the crew, D'Lo and the crew. We'll see. We'll see. If they get in the playoffs, are the Lakers a player? We will see you next time here on Hoop Talks.
Normally, the most drama coming out of Dallas is via the Dallas Cowboys, but my, oh my, the Dallas Mavericks might be taking the cake. This is Hoop Talks. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Hoop Talks. Justin Pooney joined with Noor Zainab and Jelani Goodridge. I'm sorry about the Cowboys.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny. I'll give you that.
I had to throw it in there.
But Cowboys Nation.
We're talking about North Texas, your area.
Yes.
Yes, yes. The Dallas Mavericks, guys. Back-to-back losses to the Charlotte Hornets. This is not Muggsy Bogues, Larry Johnson, Alonzo Mourning Charlotte Hornets. This is not LaMelo Ball's Charlotte Hornets. This is PJ Washington's Charlotte
Dennis
Hornets.
Dennis
Smith Jr. Revenge Tour. Look, guys, we all kind of saw the Mavericks put all their chips in the middle and acquire Kyrie Irving before the deadline. And we all thought it was going to be a match made in heaven. Kyrie, Luka, this dynamic duo. You know, they just come off a Western Conference Finals appearance. But it seems the fun has been taken out of Dallas, and especially for Luka Doncic.
I mean, yeah, it's really frustrating. You know, I think you can see it with me on the court. Sometimes I don't feel it's me. I'm just being out there. And I used to have really fun smiling on court, but it's just been so frustrating for a lot of reasons, not just basketball.
I have never seen Luka Doncic that dejected before. Noor, he plays the game with such joy and such passion, and we don't see that anymore with him. How does he get that back? Where do the Mavericks go from here? Because they only have a few games left in the season to salvage it after all these expectations were placed on them.
Well, first of all, not all of us said it's going to be a good duo. A lot of us said it wasn't going to be a good duo because it made no sense when you were watching what they acquired. You have a guy like Luka Doncic, so let's get another guy like Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, two guys that need to hold the ball constantly. And you've got Christian Wood that helps you in the paint, but all your other role players aren't exactly guys that you can rely on constantly. Let's get Dwight Powell, Reggie Bullock, Maxi Kleber. Like, those aren't guys that are going to give you 25, 30, even if the pressure is off of guys like the pressure is on guys like Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. I think in that moment, you as a role player should be shining brighter than any other role player on the other teams, because you have two guys that demand so much attention. So it just shows that it's not about bringing the star studded players onto your roster. It's about making the roster work. It's about getting teams where people understand their individual roles. And right now, this team is, I mean, they're worse than they were last year. So what does that tell you?
Jelani, though, like, when you add a superstar piece like Kyrie midseason, there's no training camp, you don't have that much practice time. Is that a factor as well, or is this just duo was doomed from the start?
What do I say all the time? Every time we come on a basketball show with Noor and Justin, I say this. You cannot just put superstar guys together and expect a ring. It doesn't work that way, okay? And especially midseason, right? You're going to need that time. That's why I have questions with the Suns. You know, KD, right, being hurt, that hurts them, of course. So, yes, Kyrie is such a talented guy. We understand what he can do, right, and what he's capable of doing. He'll give you 30-plus whenever he wants to, right? He'll make you look silly. We know that. And Luka is a baller. We know that already. But aside from those two, right? It's a team sport. Like Nora said, it's a team sport. So you're going to need your other guys to step up. Also, the front office in this deal, they lost a lot of depth, mm-hmm. right? And Brooklyn, you know, they got some guys that Dallas could really use right now.
Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yes. And I think that was their best wing defender, right? Yep. And I think right now with Dallas, right, you look at the lack of depth that there is. Also, there's no defense is absent in Dallas. I don't know what it is. They don't know that there's
they don't have, you know, the Cowboys defense.
They don't have Michael Parsons. So I think they look, if you're looking at the fact that they're 27th in defensive rebounding, that shows me that you're giving other teams a lot of opportunities and things of that nature. No paint presence. Also, blocks and steals, they're in the basement in that. So that shows me there's no effort on that end. Now, Jason Kidd. Hot seat? I think so. Because if this continues to go this down this road, right? I know what they did last year, right? But the expectations are there. Mark Cuban wanted to try this out, see how it works. It hasn't worked.
But here's,
I don't know.
But here's my pushback on all of that. Look, when you acquired Kyrie Irving, right? Yeah, it's for also this year, but it's also with the expectation that you're going to have him for a couple more years. Because look, the Lakers are out on it. They're not going to sign him, right? No. Kyrie's in a position where he's going to have to probably...
Maybe
Dallas
Miami?
Is gonna give him
I don't know.
I don't think so. But look, the way I see this workout is, look, if they can get into the playoffs or the play-in, they're a dangerous team because they have two guys. Look, Luka's averaging, what, 33 points a game?
Yeah.
Right? Kyrie's averaging 27. They're, as LeBron James once said about the Cleveland Cavaliers, they're top-heavy as shit.
Mm.
Right? They have, as you guys mentioned, they have no depth. What I think the Mavericks can do is, look, this year... The Western Conference is such a weird predicament. Everybody's so close, as you can see on the standings, right? And it's anybody's game. But going into next year, right, Kyrie's options are going to be pretty limited, I still feel like, right? They have to really build out the depth on their roster, right, this offseason and surround it around Luka. But I want to ask you guys this. Can you guys see Luka requesting out of Dallas if this season goes south?
I think, the Dallas Mavericks need to make sure and ensure that his time in Dallas is happy, you know, is mm-hmm. great, is all, you know, sunshine and roses, because you don't want him upset, right? You don't want to lose a talent like this. So if this continues, if we see, you know, a road, right, where they don't surround him with talent, where Jason Kidd, again, where the coaching isn't there, right, and they get bounced year after year after year, let's say they don't make another run like they did last year, right? Then yeah, you might see, because it's a new NBA. When guys are frustrated, they request out. Doesn't matter how good they are, or it doesn't matter the contract.
Yeah, maybe not even this year, but the year after that. I wouldn't even chalk the blame up to just Jason Kidd. I think the eye should be on Mark Cuban, because what has he given this team? How have you structured the roster? You let Jalen Brunson go, and now let's look at how he's going off in New York. So. And getting a guy like Kyrie Irving, that's a pretty, it's a move to show your star in Luka that, hey, I'm serious about you. I want to pair you with the right talent, everything. But this move clearly is just not going to work out in terms of the on-court production. On paper, it looks great because you have two stars, but on court, nothing's going to amount to it. So at some point, I think either they're going to have to revamp the roster entirely to Luka's liking and have him take lead in that, or Luka just heads over somewhere else.
They tried the Porzingis thing. They tried Luka carrying everybody thing last year. Now they bring Kyrie in. Call me crazy, but like, I think this has the potential to still work, right? It's still, they haven't played a whole bunch together yet.
That's
right?
True.
I think just give it time, whether it's this year or next year. Watch. Once they get some depth pieces next year and they have a whole offseason together, I think Luka and Kyrie can work very well. But one thing is for certain, two things are for show. The Dallas Mavericks are going to be filled with a whole bunch of questions for the remainder of the NBA season and the offseason until they get their second title in franchise history and Luka Doncic can finally cement himself as one of the greatest in NBA history. This has been Hoop Talks.